Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to finish up this section that we've been studying on the first 12 verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And last week we started a message on the aim of a model minister. And tonight, we're going to continue that and conclude it. Verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now, we left off with verse 10 there, verse 11, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. The preacher that is called of God must exhibit a measure of manliness that requires courage, fortitude, and perseverance. You know, we hear a lot in our day about feminism attacking what they call the patriarchy. Well, I'm here to tell you, our society was in a whole lot better shape when men were men, when they acted and they led their families and provided for their families and gave leadership to their wife and their children. Now, I am not a male chauvinist. I believe that women are very capable, but they're not capable of being men. And men are certainly not capable of being women. I think it's a mark of imbecility in our society to try to switch the roles of men and women. There are things that I can't do that my wife is able to do and that she is good at. And there's things that I do that she cannot do. There should always be this order. You depart from God's order and you're going to have a mess. And that's what we've got today. And a preacher, he has to have a measure of courage. He has to have some fortitude, perseverance when times get difficult. I don't believe that a preacher, a pastor, he can't be in any way effeminate or wishy-washy. There are times that he must speak forcefully and lead in spiritual strength and conviction. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Men called upon to lead the flock of God must have a firm conviction of the truth as it is in Jesus, and they must have the courage to stand. Because there will be times that doctrine, practice is going to be challenged. And you got to have a pastor that will stand flat-footed upon the truth of God's Word and not back up. I love this, the passages in Joshua. So I want to, if you would, go there. Turn to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. God exhorted Joshua this way. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The man that was going to step into the shoes of Moses had to be a man of courage, of resolve, of spiritual strength. And Joshua proved to possess all those qualities as he led the children of Israel into the promised land. And I find it so powerful that at the end of his life, when he was old and getting ready to die, he charged the children of Israel in much the same way. He said in Joshua, Joshua obeyed the command of God, and at the end of his days he exhorted Israel in chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now there is a man. He stood for what was right. He lived right. He did right. He gave the proper example to his wife, to his children, to the people that were under his charge in Israel. And all that God would raise up more men of conviction to lead their families and the Lord's churches in a way that is right and a way that is true. Now the aim of every model minister, see, he talks about, again, referring to the fact that he was like a father to them. A father has to be a leader to his family. He has to lead his wife and he has to lead his children. And when that is missing, and believe me, I think today we were talking and somebody, Josh, were you the one that gave the statistic? Well, it must have been Dean or Katie or somebody. Anyway, we were talking after we ate dinner. Do you know there are only 18% of American households where children are being raised by their father and mother together? Isn't that shocking? It's no wonder that you have so much violence, so much stealing, so much drug abuse. Kids aren't being raised by their parents. The state is trying to horn in more and more and more. And I don't think you need to hand kids off to the state for preschool when they're 3 years old. Good grief! Whatever happened to parents taking responsibility for their own children? That's why we're in the shape we're in. People say, well, they're just not capable. They're this or that. Well, you know, they need to repent then. How about that? How about saying, That's sin. That's wrong. Repent of it. Get right and raise your own kids. Now, verse 12. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. The aim of every model minister for the flock that he pastors is set forth right here. Every pastor desires that the people that are under his charge, under his watch care, walk worthy of God. To walk worthy of God means that you have respect under the family name, desiring not to bring any reproach on the name of God, your Heavenly Father, nor any of His children in the family. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." To walk worthy of God means that the saint of God aims to please God by progressing in spiritual things and obeying the principles that are set forth in God's Word. To walk worthy of God means to maintain a testimony of purity by obeying the admonition of Psalm 119. I've been quoting this a lot lately. I've noticed that in my preaching. Psalm 119, verse 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Just as every family has laws and rules, every family member is to strive and obey, God's children must have respect unto God's laws and principles if they're to walk worthy of His holy name. Maybe that's one of the keys that's missing. Kids have no respect for their parents. And if they don't have any respect for their parents, I guarantee you, they're not going to have any respect for God. To walk worthy of God means that our desire is to please God in such a way that our testimony is one of spiritual fruitfulness, as expressed in the prayer of Paul for the Colossians. He prayed in Colossians 1, 9 and 10, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with all the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Our standard of behavior should be monitored by this searching question: is what I'm about to do or say worthy of the holy name of God? Am I walking worthy of that name by which I've been called? I am a child of God. God is my Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is my model to follow, to imitate, to walk in His steps. Am I walking worthy of the Lord? That's the desire of every preacher at all. I want you to be able to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, to hear Jesus Christ Himself say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." The reason why the members of the family of God are called to walk worthy of God is because He has called us unto His kingdom and glory. Every saint of God is presently in God's spiritual kingdom by virtue of the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit in the operation of the new birth. We are part right now of a spiritual kingdom. Jesus said, "Except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God." Colossians chapter 1 says in regeneration, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's the work of regeneration. We're born into the kingdom of God by the power of the new birth. And as subjects of God's kingdom, we must live in obedience to our heavenly King who redeemed us with His precious blood. I don't think this is insignificant. You'll notice, however, that the word in verse 12 is who hath called you unto His kingdom. The word unto is used in this verse rather than the word into. Into would imply a present kingdom of glory, because that's what it's identified as. Kingdom of His kingdom and glory. You see, that part of the kingdom is not yet realized. It's not come to fruition yet. The aim of every gospel preacher is to prepare the saints of God for the coming reign of grace and glory by Jesus Christ upon the earth during the millennium. That will be a kingdom of glory. That thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth and then on into the eternal ages after He delivers up that kingdom unto the Father. God has called the believer to a walk that is in keeping with His destiny. If we have the high and holy privilege of reigning with Christ in His future kingdom of glory upon the earth for 1,000 years, then we ought to live our present lives as though we are royal children of the King awaiting the day of our coronation and inheritance. That's how we ought to live. And I pray that God will be pleased to raise up more ministers of the gospel who will read these verses carefully and strive to measure up to the standards that are set forth in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 12. We do need preachers who will preach boldly in the face of opposition, who will strive for purity in conduct, speech, and motives, and who will have a compassionate regard for the saints of God and aim to lead the saints of God in holiness, so that they may walk worthy of God in preparation for the glorious reign of Jesus Christ upon the earth. And I want to quote this summary statement by John MacArthur. I think he nails it right on the head. The parental pictures of spiritual leadership in 1 Thessalonians 2 clearly demonstrates that leadership in the church must be balanced. It is not enough for leaders just to be compassionate, tender and caring as spiritual mothers. They also need to live uncompromising, pure, and exemplary lives as spiritual fathers. Lives that in their motives and actions set the standard for all to follow. And he cross-references 1 Corinthians 11:1, where he told the church at Corinth, "Follow me as I follow the Lord." Furthermore, they need to teach the truth faithfully, building up the saints in spiritual wisdom and displaying the courage of conviction to come alongside and exhort and call their spiritual children to obedience through both strong discipline and tender consolation. These efforts lead their congregation to live in a way that honors God, who has called them to His eternal kingdom and glory. Next week, we'll get started on the next section of chapter 2, beginning at verse 13.
Psalm stand.
Page number 6.